This morning is part two of our series, You Asked For It. And this is a very unique series we do throughout the year. And if you'd like, by the way, if you'd like to fill in the blank notes for the message, if you're a note taker and you want to fill in the blank, it's in the app on any mobile device you can think of, the Victory Harvest app. You can download that and get it. But this series is a little different than the other ones that we do. And that is, we take the opportunity at Easter a couple of weeks ago to ask you the question of, I would like to hear a message based on blank. And we get a lot of really good responses back from you, get a lot of really comical responses as well. Some of you just forget the question altogether and just give us what you're thinking about. But a lot of you put in, we got close to 200 responses, a lot of you put in topics. And so we grouped those into the top four questions that we felt you were asking. And then we do a series based around it. So this is the second week. We'll take a break next week for Mother's Day. Some of you forgot. I'm helping you out right now. Next week is Mother's Day, all right? I hear that murmur. Right, all right. Some of you, your mothers didn't forget, but some of you others forgot, all right? So next week, just to let you know ahead of time, I thought about one Sunday in May, just getting up here and just tricking you and saying it's Mother's Day today and seeing what happens. See how many just bolt out the door for the nearest flower shop. I don't know. But anyways, we'll take a break next week and then we'll finish off the series in series 3 and 4. And you guys asked a lot of really good questions this year. You surprised me with a couple. Some were stalwarts that you guys have always asked, but some you kind of surprised me with, and we'll get to those in week 3 and week 4. And so we like to do this, one, because Jesus did it in his ministry. People would say, teach us about this or that. And we like to do it in that way where it kind of passes the what do you care about right now in your life test. And so, and the other thing that we like to do this for is it's not my opinion. It's not my, you know, my 10 steps. It's not what I've learned. It comes out of the Word of God. And so when we do this series, we always take the question and then we go to the Word of God to see what He has to say about it. Because that's the only Word that matters. That's the only voice that matters. And so I just want to encourage you guys. And so the question this week, last week was, how do I get out of stress? How do I, my anxiety's at a breaking point. How do I de-stress? And so you can check that one out online if you want to watch last week's. But week number two, and the question is this, why do I struggle to have faith in tough times? And I'll tell you how this was actually worded on the cards. The format was, I'm walking through this, or I'm going through this in my life. Where is God? I'm going through this particular situation. And some of you wrote them out in your prayer requests. And some of you put the specific situation. And I'm losing my faith. Or I'm going up against this battle or this war or this struggle. Or I'm walking through this and I'm going to lose my faith. And so the question this morning, how do we keep our faith in difficult times? Because the reality is many of us walk through storms in our life. Many of us walk through difficult times in our lives. And I think one of the reasons we get so upside down sometimes is that we falsely believed maybe when we started our spiritual journey that if we follow Christ and if we do everything right, we get all our ducks in a row, we follow all of the commandments, then things will fall into place and be simple and easy. And we think, well, okay, if I just do this, then my kids are always going to behave. And if I just do this, then, well, you know, I will always have plenty of money. And if I just do this, everything will be simple and easy for me. And everybody in the world will love me. And Jesus actually promised the opposite of that. He actually promised the opposite. And so sometimes when storms come, when difficulties come, it kind of catches us a little bit off guard. It kind of gets us upside down. And so we start to struggle. And if we take it too far, we start to question our faith. And where is God in all of this? And why am I walking through all of this? And so sometimes when the difficulties catch us off guard, we start to lose sight of our faith. And if you've ever walked through something difficult, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that when you get hit by something like that, you start to question everything. You start to question everything in your life. And so this morning, I just want to dedicate the message to those of you who have either been through a season like that, or you are currently sitting here this morning and you are walking through a season like that. You're walking through a difficult time and you're starting to question, where is God in all of this? Where is God in my storm? Where is God in my struggle? We're going to go to Acts 27, chapter 27. There's three or four really good storm stories in the Bible about people who have passed through a storm. And so we're going to look at the one with the Apostle Paul. So we're just going to study this one and I'll kind of set the stage for you what's happening in the story and then we'll read through it. And then I just want to pull a few principles from it that Paul learned in order to get through his storm that we can apply to our lives to get through ours. All right, just a practical message again. That's what the You Asked For It series really is. It's just practicality. Show me a sermon that can work on Monday. Show me a message that I can put into my life. So I just want to give that to you this morning out of the Word of God. And so Paul is one of the early apostles, and he didn't walk with Jesus, but he was converted after the resurrection. Actually, after Paul was persecuting the church, and then he was converted. And so he's part of shaping the early church. And really, Paul, he didn't know it at the time. He's part of shaping the church in general. God uses him in just incredible ways. And so his specific mission to the church was to the non-Jewish people. In fact, it's kind of funny. You can read when they have their council, they all come together and Paul basically tells them, you guys take the Jews in Jerusalem. I'll take the rest of the world. I'll go do everybody else. All right. You guys just focus on Jerusalem. I got everything else. And so Paul travels throughout the known world and he plants churches and he spreads the gospel. And you read throughout his letters, there's always this theme of going to Rome and preaching a great crusade there. Paul is always, he's always pointed, because Rome is the epicenter of influence in the early world. He dreams of these crusades and these revivals that are like 10 revival on steroids, right? Just he dreams of this revival breaking out and millions coming to Christ. And unfortunately, Paul never preaches a single message in Rome because by the time he finally gets to Rome, he's in chains as a prisoner for the cause of Christ. And so that dream he had of preaching it to millions getting saved, it doesn't work out how he thought it would. And he shows up to Rome. Now, thank God that Paul was a prisoner in Rome, because when he's there, he writes most of the letters that we get in the New Testament. He writes those things. So instead of the millions he thought he was going to see crusades, God uses the books that God inspired him to write to say it. And people read them by the billions now. And so it wasn't how Paul decided it would be, but that's how it ended up. God had another plan for his life. So here he is in our story. Now he's on a ship to Rome. All right, and he's a prisoner for the cause of Christ, and he doesn't know it, but he is going to give his life for Christ. He is going to be martyred in Rome, but he's on the ship now heading there in chains, heading towards Rome, and a storm breaks out. And Paul's whole life for a season takes a little detour that he did not expect. And so we'll pick it up in Acts 27. I think we can all find ourselves in this story, all right? I really do. So we'll pick it up in verse 13. It says, when a light wind began blowing from the south, so it's a nice wind is blowing, the sailors thought they could make it. And so they pulled up the anchor and they sailed close to the shore of Crete. That's where they were at the time. So they thought that everything was good. Everything was all right. And so they pull up the anchor. They say, we're going to chance it. But the weather changed abruptly. And oftentimes this is what happens in our lives. All right. I want you to see this. Oftentimes the weather changes abruptly and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster, the Bible says, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. And so the sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind. So they tried for a little while. They tried to turn it, but they couldn't turn it. So they gave up and they let it run before the gale. They just figured just wherever it's going to take us, that's where we're going to end up. And the next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. And the following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard, the stuff that was supposed to sustain them. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. And this is the condition that a lot of us find ourselves in. And you might be thinking this morning, yeah, that describes my life right now. Like, that describes where I find myself in. Like, things are going along fine. Like, there's a nice wind blowing and everything seems great. And I think Louisiana weather would be a perfect analogy for that. Everything seems fantastic in my life. And then suddenly the weather changes. Abruptly, there is a storm that knocks me completely off course. Jot a couple things down with me if you're taking notes today. One of the reasons why we lose faith in the middle of the storm, and that is that storms are disruptive. Storms are disruptive to our lives. You don't really get any warning when a storm comes in your life. You don't really, there is no like spiritual early detection system where you know, like warning, your life is about to fall apart. Your things are about to hit you. The devil is coming for you right now. You don't really get that because you'll be going along and all of a sudden your spouse comes and says, you know what? I never loved you and I'm gone. And you're thinking, well, I knew we had problems, but we were working through and I had no idea that it had gotten to that point. And you're just, storms are disruptive and they come without any warning. And or your kids will come home one day and they'll say, you know what, I don't really believe in that Jesus stuff. Or you find out that they're strung out on drugs or they're hanging out with the wrong people. Or you're sitting at work one day and you think everything is fine and your boss says, can I just talk with you for a second? We have to let you go. And you're completely knocked off kilter. And the storm comes abruptly and the storm will be very disruptive. This isn't like kiddie play stuff. This is stuff that comes into our lives that knocks us completely off course. And so these sailors, they feel like everything is fine. They pull up anchor. And then they're blown out to sea. And sometimes in our own lives, I think getting blindsided like that puts us at odds with God. I think getting blindsided by a storm like this oftentimes will put us at odds with our faith. Well, thank God, you know, couldn't you just give me like a heads up? Like hey, what's up? What's going on? Just something like that. You kind of hung me out to dry. The sailors feel like this. They feel like the weather has just completely knocked them off course. Second reason that we maybe sometimes get sideways with God, not only that storms are disruptive, but that storms are discouraging. That they're discouraging to us. Because isn't it true when a big storm comes into our life, when something big hits us and knocks us off kilter, that we fight for a while? That we fight against it for a while. We're praying, we're declaring, we're fasting. We're not going to be over, we're going to defeat this thing. And then suddenly, somewhere halfway through it, we start to let reality, or what we see as reality, settle in, and we start to give up. And it says that the sailors, they just gave up. They try to turn the ship, and sometimes we try to turn the ship against the winds. We try to turn it, and then at some point, we give up and let the gale, let the wind just kind of drive us wherever it wants to. And that's true in our own lives. We often will just give up hope. And I don't know if you can relate to that, but maybe when the storm first hit, man, you were all about, you're going to declare and you're going to resist. And man, you are on your knees in prayer. And somewhere along the way, you let the storm just kind of set in and you gave up hope. And it felt like your prayers weren't being answered. And it felt like you weren't hearing from God. It felt like God wasn't listening to you. And you just started to give up hope. And you're just thinking, well, there is no reason to fight because it's just going to happen anyways. There is no reason to resist because this is just, it's going to take me wherever it's going to take me. And if you're a parent, you know that this is true, by the way. You can probably relate to this because I don't know how many of you in your families, you have had a puke epidemic in your home. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about, right? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody this morning? Nobody's had? Let me explain it to you because we have had several of them in our home, all right? I'll just explain it to you right now. If you're a little squeamish, I invite you to take advantage of our wonderful foyer at this moment. But I don't know how, we have three kids. I don't know how they do it, but they share diseases, all right? They just, all three of them just love to share. They don't share anything else, but they share diseases, all right? My toys are mine, but my germs are thine. It's I don't know how they do it. And so when the first child, and this happened to us, by the way, this happened a few months ago. We had a 3-week period in our home, just 3 weeks of the, and we were going through it. I don't know if your life is like mine, but if it is, the devil hates you, right? And as he does me, and he attacks. And so we were going through a time where we decided we have to take some rest or we're not going to make it. All right. We have to rest. We have to take this time. And so Alyssa and I just decided we're going to take this time of rest. And it always seems when you're going to take that time of rest is when an attack comes. And oftentimes it comes through our poor little children. And so while we did this, while we started, we're about to happen. The first victim starts to throw up. And you begin, when that happens, you think, we can beat this, right? We were going to quarantine that victim. They will be the only, we can defeat the vomit, all right? We will overcome the puke. We will come, throw away all the toothbrushes. We're going to Lysol everything, right? This is not going to overcome us. We're going to defeat this thing. And about 1 a.m. when all three of them are throwing up and you're starting to feel a little squeamish, you're just like, throw up on each other. Like, I don't care. Just get it. Like, I just give up. At the beginning, we're going to overcome this thing. We're going to defeat it at some point. I just give up. Some of you, your lives are like that, like a carousel of puke, right? You just, by the time one kid gets better, they give it to the next one, they give it to the next one, it comes back to the parents, goes back to the first victim, right? It's just this carousel. Some of you in your life is like that, and you've just given up hope. Like, I've given up hope. I'm going to wipe up vomit for the next 10 years, all right? We finally got done pooping on ourselves. Now we're going to puke on ourselves. It's just a decade of my life. I don't know. I just thought I'd let you in on that right now. But some of you, it's like that. It's just that cycle around. It's ridiculous. And then the third one that storms are, and this is the final one, is that storms are disorienting. They're very discouraging. They're very disruptive, but they're also disorienting. In the midst of all of this, of life falling apart, we're feeling beat down and we're feeling depleted. We're feeling like there is no way we're going to go on. We've given up all hope. We're allowing the winds of life to kind of just move us all through. And then we lose sight of where it is that we're headed. We lose sight of it's disoriented. You read the story of the sailors. They start at the end. They start to throw over the ship's supplies. They, at the very end, they start to throw over the gear that they needed for the ship. They're not even thinking straight at this point. And you read the verse that says, even at the very end, they couldn't even see the sun or the stars. Now, for a sailor, that is your navigation. That is tells you where you are on the ocean. It tells you where you are. Celestial navigation is about where you are so that you can decide where you're going. They've lost sight of everything. And the storm has tossed them. And some of you, you're in that place where you're thinking, man, I'm not sure. Forget about thriving. Like, forget about getting out of debt or forget about thriving in my calling. Forget about any of that. I'm not sure if I'm getting out of bed in the morning. Some of you, you've been so disoriented by the storm, you don't know where you're headed. You're saying, I don't even know if I'm coming or going. I just don't know. I don't know what God has for me. I forget about actually thriving in what he has for me. I don't know what my next step, I don't even know if I can go on. I don't even know if I want to go on. And so these sailors, they started to throw everything overboard. So the Bible says at the end of that, that they lost the sun and the stars. They lost the vision and the course and the direction for the ship. And many times as Christians, we get where the storm is so overwhelming that it's disorienting to us. And so we lose sight of what God has for us. And we start to toss over the things that are so important in our lives. The things that were designed to sustain us, the cargo and the things that were designed to sustain them, they start throwing them overboard because they get so loose. So we start taking in our values. We stop going to church. We stop reading our Bible. We stop praying. We stop doing the things that were made to sustain us in the storm, the things that were made to keep us strong in our storm. We stop doing those things when we get disoriented. We lose sight. We start throwing them overboard because we're just in survival mode. We're just thinking, man, I just got to survive. And so we throw away the things that were designed to help us survive. And I just want to encourage you, if you are walking through a storm and you've gotten disoriented and you say, well, I'll come back to that stuff when I'm out of this storm. Right now, I just got to survive. That stuff is what was designed to sustain you. Your prayer and your Bible reading, your time with God, that's designed to sustain you. The Word of God is not something you come back to after the storm. It is your anchor in the storm. It's not something that you come back to when you've got the time. This is what will sustain you. And so I can encourage you guys, don't throw that stuff overboard while you get disoriented. Don't let it cause you to lose your hope because you don't see a way out. You say, I lost all hope. I don't see my way out. I don't even see what my next step is. So this morning, I want to dedicate that to those of you who think there is no hope. We think, well, I can't see the sun and the stars and I haven't seen them for weeks. And so there is nothing left and I have no hope and I'm disoriented and I just don't know where God wants me to go. I don't know what God has for my life. And maybe at one point you had great vision. Maybe at one point it was clear. And maybe at one point you believed what God was doing in your life. And now you're saying, well, I don't know what's up and I don't know what's down and I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know. And so this morning I would encourage you. I encourage you, you have to keep those things that were designed to sustain you. The Bible tells us and encourages us in those storms in Hebrews. And it says, don't throw away your confidence. So even in the midst of a storm, don't throw away what you're confident in. It will be richly rewarded. He said, you will come through on the other side. In fact, he goes on in verse 36. It says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what God has promised. You want to see the promise of God. You have to persevere. Don't throw away your confidence even when the storm looks like you got to throw everything overboard to survive. Don't throw away your confidence because if you persevere, you'll receive what God has promised you. On the other side of it, you'll receive what God has promised. Man, I will never forget 2016. I'll never forget standing in my house with 4 feet of water kind of rushing around my couch cushions kind of floating by, right? Like just the stuff that I cared about the day before just floating by me in the water. Or coming out here and seeing the campus and these buildings and seeing like a river just flowing towards the south of the property, just flowing out of here, right? Just this river just flowing by and seeing the buildings underwater. I'll never forget just looking at all that. I stood in this sanctuary somewhere back in this side. I stood there and I watched in the dark as these pews just floated around, right? And then like ships in the night just floating around. I remember distinctly thinking to myself, I wonder what the weather is like in Tennessee this time of year. I bet it's wonderful. I think I'll go visit. I think that's something. No insurance. Like, in fact, the week before the flood, we took 95% of the church savings and paid off the debt. You talk about the worst possible time for a flood to hit. The worst possible. I remember thinking, looking at buildings and some of the church vehicles underwater, thinking like, well, it's good we own that. It's good we 100% we own that now, right? As of last week, that is ours. That's all ours, all right? We're going to have the first underwater church. We're going to have inner tubes in here. We just own that. There were some hard conversations going on. Are we going to close the church? Are we able to go? I know you had those same conversations in your homes, in your businesses. And yet here we are, everybody. Here we are, everybody. God, like floodwaters are gone. Like we're not in inner tubes, all right? I don't know if you noticed this morning. You're not floating around in here like the floodwaters are gone. And God will bring you through your storm. He will bring you to the other side if you persevere, if you hold on. If you believe what he's promised. If you hold on, God will bring you to the other side. And the important part, the part I want you to get this morning is we have to keep our faith in the midst of it. We don't always have to understand. We don't always have to understand. But faith is not understanding. Faith is believing. Faith is trusting. And so we keep our faith in the midst of it that there's this promise that God will bring us to the other side. There's this promise that God has for us. God has a promise for your life. So what do we do? What's the practical side of this? What do we do in our own lives? Fourth thing Paul gives us, and I'm just going to move through them quickly this morning. Four things back in the text. We'll jump back to Acts 27. And just practical things I'm going to encourage you to do in your own life. And I love verse 21. After they'd gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them. So he's talking to the sailors and he said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have saved yourselves this damage and loss." So right here is a biblical, "I told you so," all right? So you are allowed to say it, all right? Paul stands up and he doesn't extend this, "Everything's going to be okay." He doesn't start with that. He stands up and he says, "I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. You should have listened to the preacher." I just love that, all right? "But now I urge you to keep up your courage." So this is the first, after the "I told you so," this is what Paul then tells them. "But keep up your courage." And this probably doesn't mean what you think it means, because the word courage here doesn't mean bold or be brave. It actually means to be joyful and to celebrate. One translation says to be of good cheer. So Paul is, the very first thing he's telling them is, if you're going to make it through the storm, I want you to keep your joy. And so if you're going to make it through the storm, you have to learn to laugh in your circumstances. And that might seem a little strange to you, but Paul is telling them, be joyful, be cheerful. And it wouldn't be what you would expect the first thing for Paul to say. Not from the translation of the word courage. And so in the middle of it, Paul says, don't lose your joy in the midst of the storm. So jot it down if you're taking notes. Here's the message from it. And that is, external storms should not steal your internal joy. Your external storms should never be even able to affect your internal joy. See, the problem with the world today, and we did a whole series on this last year when we did a book study in the book of Philippians. A book that Paul wrote while he was in jail in Rome, and he probably learned on this ship journey, is that we live, a lot of times in the world, we live based on happiness. And so I told you last year, right, you can't base your life, you can't embrace happiness, because your happiness is based on your happenings. And so then all the devil has to do to steal your happiness is disrupt your life. That's all he has to do to affect you. All he has to do is send some storms and things to disrupt you. So he can mess up the external things, and that'll cause an internal war in your life. And Paul is saying, we need to live deeper than that. As Christians, we need to live deeper than an external happiness, because external storms will mess with that. And we can't let that mess with our internal. We got to live deeper. And so you got to be people where this internal thing, that when the storms of life are raging around us, it can't mess with our internal joy. It can't mess with what God has promised us. It can't mess with the joy that we experience. Joy is something that's deeper. It's a perspective that we embrace. And so Paul is saying, keep up your courage. And so this is how he goes. How do you keep up your courage? He says, I urge you to keep it, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. He said, only the ship is going to be destroyed. If you think about it, as you go through life, if you really think about it, a lot of times during storms, usually what is taken are the peripheral things. The things that probably needed to be taken out of your life in the first place. A lot of times in a storm, it will change your value system into where you see that a lot of these peripheral things that the storm is taking probably weren't so important in the first place. I don't know about you, but a lot of cleaning happened. I wouldn't do it again, but a lot of cleaning happened in my life in 2016. A lot of cleaning happened in the church. We found some closets where I thought, who in their right mind? We found stuff from 93, like stuff that people, I don't know, they thought we'd use it again. Nobody used it for 30 years. We threw it out. Amen, everybody? It was, a lot of times it will take things. It will reevaluate your value system. It's really, and I bet you when they left the shore, a lot of these sailors were thinking, man, this ship is really, really important. These wood timbers in the floor, all of this is really, really important. One of the things that a storm does is it gets you back to what's really actually important. And so Paul is saying, look, you're going to be fine. You can take courage. You can have this internal joy because you're going to start looking at something different. Your lives will be saved. The ship is going to be lost. He's just telling them straight out. Because the key to joy is perspective. What we set our eyes on will determine the joy in our life. What we choose to set our value system on will determine the joy in our life. So if we look through this temporal lens at the worldly things, then our life and our joy will be based on temporal and worldly things. And oftentimes you'll get frustrated and disappointed when those things are taken. You'll start to think, well, why didn't I get that promotion? Or why didn't my kid make that team? Or why didn't I get that relationship that I was going after? Why didn't I get that physical thing that I really desire, that item or whatever it was that I really, really wanted? And storms have a way of stripping away all of that stuff so we see what's important. And when you change your perspective, you shift it, you get to a place where you've set your eyes above those things, then you can have internal joy that can't be affected by external storms. Then you can have that in your life. Now, I'm not making light of challenges in life, because oftentimes storms will take things that are very, very valuable to us. Things that are very, very, and so it's in those situations, the most of all, that we need to set our eyes on the eternal and not the temporal. It's in those situations where you walk through something that takes something that is so very valuable to you, and we set our eyes on the eternal. We set our perspective on that. In fact, that's one of the things that Paul was the very best at. In Philippians chapter 1 in verse 21, he illustrates this to the extreme. He shows this to the extreme, and he says, "For to me, living means living for Christ. And dying is even better." Think how crazy this guy is, all right? He says, if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. If I live, I can continue to work for Christ. So I'm kind of torn, honestly, between life and death. Not between losing stuff that I care about. He said, I'm torn between actual life and death. He said, my perspective is so on the eternal that I'm torn on what I want to do. If I do this, if I die, I get to go be with Christ. I'd rather go be with Jesus, he said. Heaven is better. I don't know if you know that, right, anybody? Heaven is better. All right, it is better than what we're walking through right now. It is better than this life on earth. So Paul says, it's better to be in heaven. I don't know, but for your sakes, he goes on, he says, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work. So I don't really know which is better. So come on, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be better for me. He said, heaven is a lot better for me. I said, but for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. How arrogant is Paul? Paul is saying, I am amazing for you. Like, I am what you need right now. You need me. Paul is saying this. He said, I don't really need you. In fact, I'd rather die and go to heaven, all right? I'm kind of tired of you. He said, I've had enough. I'd rather go on, but you need me, so I guess I'll stay. I'm kind of torn. I'm kind of torn between that. What do you do to a person like that? You can't torment them. You can't beat them. You can't take everything. And Paul's, they get to that point. He says, if you want to kill me, would you go ahead and do it? Because it'd be better for me. Go ahead, just put a cut. Just cut right there. It's better for me. I imagine Paul at his beheading. I imagine Paul, when he gave his life for Christ, just saying, thank you. I mean, this is better for me. I'm going to be with Christ. He has his eyes so set on the eternal, and he teaches that to us as well. We have to have our eyes set on that. He's saying, it's better that I go. You can't torment a person. Paul is saying, if you take all my stuff, I'm going to preach the gospel. And if you take my life, I go to be with Jesus. That's a win-win, baby. It's a win-win. And so Paul is in that place. He said, in the midst of circumstances, in the storm of life, there's not a whole lot that the enemy can do to disrupt Paul. There's nothing the enemy can do to disrupt him, because his external, it doesn't affect his internal joy. He knows where he's headed. He set his eyes. And so in the midst of our circumstances, we have to learn how to take courage. We have to learn how to be of good cheer. Verse 23, Paul says, last night, he's still talking to the sailors, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul. For you must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Again, Paul is like, I am amazing, all right? You will live because I am here. This is what he's saying to them. I love this. I love Paul's, anything Paul says. Love this. Verse 25, so keep up your courage, he tells them again. And then he says the phrase, keep up your courage, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Second thing this morning you're going to have to do, if you want to keep your faith in the storm, if you want to keep, because storms are disorienting, the second thing you have to do is you have to decide what is true. Decide what is true in your life. You have a moment where you step back and you decide what is actually true about your life and about your God. You decide what you're going to believe. Whose report are you going to believe? We believe the report of our God. And so at some point in your storm, you have to step back. And sometimes storms will try to convince you that God doesn't care about you, that God has left you in the middle of that. And you have to decide what it is that you believe. Decide what it is that you believe to be true. Because the storm will come and it'll tell you you're not going to make it to the other side. That God has deserted you, that God's moved on to somebody else, that you're not going to make it, that your God doesn't love you. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe my circumstances? Am I going to believe my circumstances? The devil that's whispering in my ear saying I'm never going to make it to the other side? Or do I believe the God who has spoken to me and given me a vision and given me his word and spoken that he will never leave me or forsake me? Whose word will you believe? And so even in the midst of the storm, you have to decide whose word you're going to believe. And you have to have your anchor on that. Somewhere along the way, the devil brings these storms to steal your hope, to steal your joy, to disorient you, to disrupt you, to knock you off the vision. And if you're going to make it, if you're going to maintain your faith, you have to decide what is true. It's almost a daily decision you have to make, what you're going to believe. And the Bible talks about in John 17, this is Jesus speaking. He says, sanctify them. He's praying about us. Sanctify them by the truth. Purify them by the truth. The word truth there is aletheia. It means of or pertaining to what is real. So he's saying, sanctify them by reality, by the highest reality. And oh yeah, the highest reality is found in the word of God. He says, your word is truth. Your word is truth. God has given us the manual. God has given us the word. And so if you're in the middle of a storm, you have a choice to make. Am I going to believe the whispers of the devil, or am I going to believe the word of God? You have that choice to make in your own life. I can't make it for you. I can lay it out for you. I can show you the word of God every single Sunday, but you've got to make that decision in your own life. Whose report am I going to believe? Decide what you believe. Back to our text just before dawn. Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, right? Somebody say amen. Paul urged them to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you've been constant suspense. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. I just wanted to throw this in there. I was reading this verse. This is not a main point, not in your notes. But when you're going through, there are two extremes here. When you're going through this kind of thing, some of you, you need to eat. You need to discipline your body. When you're going through a storm or distress or something, these sailors hadn't eaten for 14 days. Some of you, when you go through a distress or something, all you do is eat, all right? And I'm just telling you, discipline your bodies. I'm just throwing that out there. You can hate me afterwards, but you know what type you are. Discipline your body, because when you come through the storm, you'll be paying a physical toll as well as a spiritual one. If you treat yourself like, I'm just throwing, that's just free for you, all right? That's for somebody today. But he urged them to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair. So he starts to encourage them. Nobody's going to lose a single hair from his head. And so he says, here's what we're going to do. And so they start to get encouraged. But then it goes on, and we'll be in verse 43. It goes on, it says that they mismanaged the boat a little bit, and they actually run upon ground before they wanted to. And so they were still trying to save the boat. Paul already told them the boat's gone, but they try to save it. They mismanage it. They run on ground, and they're a little encouraged from Paul. Now they're on ground. They're back to just discouraged, and they're all, we're going to die. So they decide they're going to kill all of the prisoners. They're going to kill all the prisoners so they can't escape to the shore. And so this one centurion who's going to save, he's trying to save Paul to keep him alive. And so he gives this directive. He wants to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan to kill the prisoners. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and then get to land. And listen, if you're in the midst of a storm, you are going to have to pray. You are going to have to decide what it is that you're going to believe. You do need to discipline your body. But number three, you have to fight for your life. Because if you're in the midst of the storm, you can't let another person fight your battle for you. And thank God for grandma who's praying for you. And it's wonderful to have somebody who's interceding. And it's amazing to have a friend who will come to your house and get you out of bed and get you to eat something and encourage you like Paul did for these sailors. But at some point, if you're going to make it through your storm, you got to get on your own two feet and swim for shore, because ain't nobody else going to save your life. You've got to make the decision to get up on your feet and swim for shore. You got to have, so God will bring you through it. God will bring you to the other side of it, but you got to have some skin in the game. You got to have some skin in the game. I'm preaching better than you responded this morning. You've got to pray. You've got to do it. You've got to seek God. You've got to hit your knees. You've got to pick up your Bible, because nobody else is going to pick it up for you. No one else is going to. Praise God for those who are going to intercede. Praise God for those who are going to come to your house. Praise God for those who are going to encourage you. But at some point, you got to get up on your two feet and you got to swim for shore. You got to swim for sure. At some point, you got to keep going to work. You've got to keep disciplining your kids. You got to cut up that Amex card or that Visa or Discover card or whatever it is that got you into debt. You've got to work on your marriage. At some point, you got to get some skin in the game. You've got to do it, and God will bring you through. But God is waiting. You've got to do some things. There's some responsibilities that you have. The beautiful news is they all get off of the boat. By the way, we continue in the story. They get off and they make it to the shore. And the Bible says they begin to build this fire to get warm on the shore. They begin to build this fire to get warm. And there's some people living on the island of Malta where they've arrived. And so they start to build this fire, and the people are helping them, and they're all getting around because it's cold. And Paul is starting to build it, but the heat actually drives snakes out of the fire. I don't know, the snakes are starting to wake up these last. I was telling them, I've seen four so far in the last week. But they start to build this fire, and it wakes the snakes up. And they start to come out of the fire. One of them latches onto Paul's hand as he's building the fire. And so everybody starts to watch him like, man, they start to think he's hexed or something. You were meant to die. We don't know how you escaped to get here, but you're going to die. That stinks for you. And they start to like just watch him. Paul just shakes the snake off into the fire. And he's just like, what's up? I'm fine. I'm good. And so they're all watching him. And so they begin to think that he's a god. They begin to think that Paul is, and so they bring him to Felix, who is the leader of the land there of Malta. He's leading the people there. They bring him to Felix's house, and Felix's father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him. And after prayer, Paul prays and places his hand on him, and he was healed. And when this happened, the rest of the sick on the island, everybody starts coming, and they were cured. And they said they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies that we needed. They furnished us with the supplies that we need. I want you to see that even if storms of life are driving you off course, that a lot of times God will use that. And a lot of times it's in his plan for you that you go to those places that you then receive back. They gave them the supplies that they needed to survive. And then God put them in that place, because the number four, the last one this morning in keeping our faith, is that you never lose sight when you're on that detour. You never lose sight of preaching your message. You never lose sight of preaching your message, no matter where the storm takes you, no matter what island that you're on, because Paul was ready in season and out of season. Paul was always ready to preach the message. Paul was always ready to pray, always ready to reach others. And it was whether Paul was preaching to a great crusade, or whether he was writing letters in jail, or whether he was rising up a new congregation, whether he was building a fire with snakes in it, Paul was ready to preach his message. Paul was ready to preach the message. And I want you to know, in your own lives, in your own storms, if you keep your heart right and you keep your eyes focused on the Lord, one of the things that you will see that will help you to keep your faith in God is, even in those detours, even in those times, that God will begin to move in the people around you. You'll begin to see God's faithfulness in the people around you. God will begin to use the stuff that you're walking through to encourage them. The stuff that he brought you through, the storm he just brought your ship through, to encourage those who are around you. The snake that he just shook off your hand to encourage those around you. And you'll begin to see that your mess becomes your message. That the stuff that you're walking through becomes the message that you preach. That the gospel that you start to share is, hey, God brought me through this. He can bring you through this. And you start to see him. The way you keep your faith in the storm, the way that you keep your faith when you're walking through those things, is you start to see God move in these people's lives. And suddenly it becomes this picture of people with lives changed that he is forming around you. It becomes this awesome testimony that he is using you to change others. And so if you get your eyes off the temporal, you get your eyes off of the storm that you're going through, God will begin to use that. It isn't so much about you. It isn't so much about you. It is about how God is using you to reach others around you. See, storms are inevitable in life. I don't know. Storms are inevitable. If you're seeking insulation, you might as well not even get in the boat. If you're seeking insulation from storms, don't even try to follow Christ, because Jesus promised that you would have troubles. In fact, I'll show you the verse. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Have courage. Keep your faith. Why? Because Jesus is saying you'll be able to get your eyes off the temporal. You'll be able to see that I have overcome the world. You'll be able to see that I have overcome it. That I've already overcome the world. There's nothing that the devil can do to you. There's nothing that the devil can take from you that God cannot re-bless and restore and double give back. And not only that, he can use what you're walking through. He can use what you're walking through to develop your testimony to reach others and to fulfill the vision that God has for your life. There's nothing the devil can take from you that God can't give back. There's no storm that can knock you off kilter that God can't bring you back. That God doesn't use where you are to reach others for the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. Bow your heads with me this morning. I just want to pray for you this morning. If you're in the midst of a storm, if you're walking through in the midst of something, I want to pray that you would have the courage and the faith to begin to shift your perspective, to see what God is doing in your life. Begin to shift your perspective, not to lose your faith, but to grow it. And before I pray that prayer, I just want to connect with another group of you. I just want to connect with a group of you that maybe you've been hit by a storm and you let it drive you from God. Or maybe you walked through something early in your life or years ago and he let it drive you far away from God. And so you believe the lie that said that God doesn't love you. You believe the lie that said that that storm is there because God doesn't care about you, or that God left you, or that God isn't with you. If I can just stay up here this morning and just say one thing to you, it's that God loves you. That he is a good God. He is a good God. That he cares about you, that he still sees you. You may feel like you're so far away from him. God still sees you. And he still loves you. And unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and there is a purely evil enemy, the devil, who hates your soul. He's the enemy of your soul. And he's seeking to destroy you. And a lot of times we believe that lie of the enemy, that God doesn't care for us. But the truth is that God still loves you. That you're never too far. It's never too late to come back to him. That he is a good God and he still loves you. And I want you to know today that God can rescue you. I want you to know that he can pull you out of wherever it is that you are, wherever it is you let the storm drag you or toss you or push you. Wherever it is, God can still rescue you. And he still wants to. He still wants you. Doesn't care about the mess. He doesn't care about where the storm has driven you. He doesn't care. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to rescue you. And this is for somebody this morning, but God still has a plan for you. You may think you wrecked the vision for your life. You may think that you're too far off course, that that vision that you had is too far gone, that it's never going to come to pass. God still has a vision for you. He can still bring you out. He can still set you on the path. God can still rescue you, and God can still use you. So every head bowed today, I'm going to give you a chance to pray that prayer, to have God rescue you again. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I'm not interested in embarrassing you. I want to connect you with Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to pray a prayer of rescue. And if that's you, if you say, Ben, I want to pray that prayer. I need Jesus in my life. Or if you say, the storm has taken me too far. I feel like God is a million miles away. I want to pray that he rescues me again. If that's you this morning, you say, it's time to surrender my life. With nobody else looking around, would you do me the favor this morning? You say, include me in that prayer. Would you just stretch up your hand this morning? Just all across this room. Great job. Thank you. Thank you. Great job. Great job. Just stretch your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. If you want to join those, you say, include me in that. I need God to rescue me. I want Jesus in my life. Just stretch your hand up. We're going to pray this morning. And I'm going to encourage the whole church to pray with us. Just as a show of support, I want to pray with those 8 who raised their hand. And I can give you the words. It's a simple prayer, but you've got to say them and you've got to mean them. This is between you and Jesus. This isn't about you joining a church. This isn't about me. This isn't about a message. Nothing about that. It's about you and Jesus and a God who loves you. And he's waiting to hear from you. He's waiting to hear from you. So we're going to pray with you. We're just going to pray as a sign of support. We're just going to pray with you this morning. So come on, church, let's pray with those. Just say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me today of all my sin. God, forgive me of allowing the storm to drive me far from you. Today I surrender. God, today I give you control of my life. Give me a brand new start. Rescue me. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Now I just want to pray over everyone here, everyone watching online. I just want to pray a prayer as you walk through the midst of storms. Father, we thank you today that you have never lost sight of us. God, you've never taken your eyes off of us. God, that you still love us. Lord, that no matter where the storm has driven us, you still love us and you still care for us. And you still walk with us in the middle of the storm. God, that you see us in every moment of our life. That you see us and you care for us and you love us. And so, Lord, I pray right now, God, that for those who have lost a vision for the future, those who have been disrupted, God, those who have been disoriented, Lord, those who have been, God, tossed far, God, that you would come back into their lives and rescue them. God, you would help to restore vision, help to restore direction. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that no weapon formed against us would prosper, that we would begin to believe the word of God again. We would begin to believe the promises that you have for us again. That we would shut our ears to the whispers of the enemy, God, and we would listen only to you. Teach us, Lord, in the darkest moments of our lives to pick up our Bibles again and to trust in you. And so we cry out today, God. We cry out, Lord, that you would be with us. God, that you would use these things we walk through to bring us closer to you and to develop our testimony. Use these things for the kingdom of God, for the gospel. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we don't have to wait for storms to pass. We don't have to wait to come to the other side of the storm, that we can start to preach our message in the middle of it. That we can start to live our lives for you in the middle of it, that you'll use it for your kingdom. That you'll use the pain that we walk through, that you'll use the suffering that you bring us through to reach those around us. God, that we can take courage knowing that you're going to use what we walk through to spread the gospel. That we can take courage knowing that you are a good God. You care for us and you're going to use us. That you have a plan for us. You have a vision for our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Come on, guys, can you stand up with me today? We're just going to end with worship. Man, we're just going to end just lifting up the God who sees us in our storms, the God who walks through us in our tribulation, the God who rescues us. We're just going to raise, we're just going to worship Him today. Come on, let's lift up our voices. Let's just begin to sing. Let's surrender all to Him today. Let's praise Him together. Come on, let's worship.